Welcome, everyone, to your week's special edition. I don't know if it's special. It's just special because we're always here. This is the wrestling show, and this is Kev, along with Billy. How are you, Billy boy?
I fucking did this show already today with someone else.
Yeah, that's what's going to be funny, is because you're already done this. But, I mean, you did the Russo show, but did you just talk about news, or did you review what we had seen from this last week on wrestling, and did you discuss... my theory that they're going to take this out on Drew and say he's responsible for being the worst ratings champion of all time.
Oh God! Like
you know they're gonna.
I didn't talk to Russo about that, but actually, like what the concern is this week was from other people, other sources that I spoke to that actually think like you do, And yeah, even from conversations that I've had from Drew's perspective, it hasn't gone as deep as that. But he obviously he's in the third hour for the last 2 weeks, and the numbers are the worst in the third hour.
Yeah.
So obviously, you'd be a robot to not be concerned about that. But yeah, no, Rhea Russo didn't. We were gonna touch on the news, and it was mainly centered around the story about the house shows and the quarterly call and how they're going to, the breakdown of how they plan to get to $1 billion anyway, and how much more releases they will do and what will happen with the brand split, et cetera. But it did veer off into talking about Raw and ideas. And through the conversation, we both learned that we both pitch ideas to wrestlers that are currently on the roster, and they don't use any of his. So I've actually at least had stuff on there, but his stuff actually can't get on at all.
So the guy he talks to, though, goes and pitches it and doesn't know it's coming from Russo, right?
Three guys he does.
And they don't know it's coming from Russo, though?
No.
So okay. That's good. That's the only way, because no matter what, they wouldn't do it if they knew it was him, no matter if it was the greatest thing in the world.
No, but he says to me, he said he's reached the point where he says the guys love it, and he goes, they even offer to send him money. And this isn't like an exclusive, because this is on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that they even send him money, and he said, you're a friend, like, I don't want your money. Sure.
Do you know who the guys are? I'm not asking you to divulge, but do you know who they are?
No, I don't know who they are.
Oh, wow. I'm surprised.
The whole talk today was on air, so I didn't have a chance to talk to him off the air, apart from... So a couple of things that were privately said at the start, just in terms of structure and things of that nature, which I'll talk to you about. But yeah, that was interesting, because he said to me he's three guys that reach out to him. He's done numerous stuff for them, and he hasn't had a single thing on television.
Wow.
And he's reached the point where he simply thinks that they will not take anything from an outsider or anything with any kind of layers to it. And I listened to one of his other shows where he was talking about SmackDown this week, and how he understands that Bray and his writer are very connected, and they are trying to force in Illuminati type comments onto the show in terms of to enhance Bray's character, and where he was mentioning things about reptilians and things of that nature. And there was no reaction to it from Braun, because obviously the other writers that are involved in it, and when it came down to coming through Vince, all of this stuff didn't run through Vince. So it's almost like Bray is doing his own character and putting in his own lines, and is trying to get to a point where he can enhance his character by himself. But as I said to you previously from my own conversations with Bray, so this has now been verified to me by somebody else, that Bray's always trying his own shit.
Yeah.
He's always trying to get on his own stuff. But actually, there is a complete lack of understanding of it, even from the person he's working with, which in this section is Braun, always with Vince, and always from various other writers and people involved. It's always just Bray and his own writer who does understanding, always trying to squeeze in little bits of modern cultural references that they can. And obviously with the things like the reptilian and the Illuminati and all this conspiracy stuff with David Icke being relevant at the moment, and Braun keeps himself engaged with modern day news, unlike Vince, who's just a fucking wrestling guy who lives and dies wrestling. Braun in the end will always struggle to fully tell the story that he wants to do. So that's just unfortunate, because that kind of layered story, if it was going to that kind of path where he was brainwashing people with that kind of stuff, it would be much better. But in the end, him and his writer just try and squeeze in lines here and there, and it doesn't really go anywhere.
Do you feel that, and I don't know if this is a question for, this is probably a question for you and Russo, do you feel that people are holding back any storylines, like say the wrestlers don't want to pitch something that's really good while there is no crowd, because I don't want to, you know, have a tree fall in the forest and no one there to hear it? Do you think they say, well, I'm not going to waste a great thing where I can get a great crowd reaction, why would I use this? So do you think they hold back? Or, and also at this point, do you think there is anything, any story, anything that could fucking possibly happen that would make any difference right now because of no crowd in the ratings? I don't think there is anything that could happen storyline wise that would change anything in this fucking ratings.
I think that a lot of talent are getting to be on TV at the moment that wouldn't usually be utilized. So I think if these talents at the moment have ideas, then they would be pitching them, because this is their only opportunity, I think, to make the most of what they're doing. I think if you're an Orton or you're an Edge, who are apparently coming back next week, I think you do sit it out. Mm-hmm. I think you just sit it out. And I think that's not really applicable either to Drew or anybody like that. But I think there's a reason why Owens has taken a sabbatical and is deciding, he's openly said he's decided to heal up and stay with his family, which was an option that was given to people. And Owens has taken it, despite the fact that he had that win against Seth Rollins, and despite the fact that Money in the Bank was scheduled to be a triple threat match with Rollins and Drew, which is why we get this confusing situation with where it's just Drew and Rollins with Rollins coming off the loss. There was supposed to be a situation where Rollins won a match on TV to set so that they could both vie for that position, and it was supposed to be a triple threat match for that. But you've got Owens, deciding to take the time off. Orton and Edge have been kept off to this point. Styles only returned this week, and I think if you're all those people that was off TV, you don't waste anything. But I think if you're an Angel Garza or a Austin Theory or an Andrade or anybody like that who is getting TV time, I think you just pitch the best stuff. And I think one of the things that me and Russo mainly agreed on is that you've got to do something here that's not just hours and hours of wrestling. And I was this week speaking to a couple of people within the company, not any of the wrestlers, and saying, in terms of talking about how bad the rating was, and I just said, look, it's just because there's too much wrestling. I don't watch Raw in 3 hours in a row. You say you do watch it, but you're always doing other things. Yes. But I actually watch it more with and pay attention to it, but mm-hmm. I break it up instead. I go for walks, or I watch Save the Last Dance, or whatever I'm watching on Netflix, and just break it up like that, because it's just
so you watch an hour and then something else.
Yeah, I do it in two sittings, because I fast forward the adverts. So I do an hour and 10 and an hour and 10, and that covers it. But yeah, it's just all this wrestling. And off the top of my head, Cav, I said, in response to someone saying to me here, where is it? I don't understand here. From what I gathered, a network understand we need time to build that new stars. All going to be fucked because barely anyone left they've truly built over the last 10 years. But I don't understand certain parts, like Selena's faction not getting some positive time. Ricochet, Cedric is minimal. Talking All Action tag team being built. I don't get what that meant. But the general gist is that there's just too much wrestling on TV. So which, yeah. I said, so my reply here was, as a viewer, I don't know nothing about Zelina's faction or how she found them. Apparently, she has some link to NXT they've never addressed on TV. Instead of doing constantly doing wrestling, why not shoot a segment with her where we go behind the scenes and she goes to an NXT show prior to NXT being taped, and she's going through and she's pretending, or she's or not pretending, I put it, she's fake going through a portfolio of NXT sure. talents and negotiating with Triple H and Regal. It's something they can do to fill time, and she would make it good. So basically the idea is that they follow her around and her like day-to-day life, kayfabe. She's supposed to be an agent. Yeah. She's supposed to have this link to NXT. Show her going down to NXT, watching people at NXT, hanging around backstage, talking to Triple H and William Regal, going through folders, talking about the camera, about who she likes, saying what she liked about Austin Theory and Angel Garza, etc. It's easy to do.
I really like that.
It's like following around an agent for like a couple of weeks.
A fake documentary, like they do their 24, but it's all K5. And they fucking, she'd like, they're film walking behind her while she's looking at shit and she's studying nonsense in the crowd. Like, because I'm sure she's been shot in the crowd before of a show.
Yeah.
So they could film, show that, like she was scouting.
So I put, that's just one idea. And I could literally come up with with non-wrestling out of the ring things for people, for everyone on the roster to do, and they could feel the show easily. I went, for example, this week, the most interesting thing I saw on Raw was people seeing the WWE canteen for the first time. I think they could have actually done 10 minutes with someone walking fans around the building instead of doing more and more wrestling. Someone funny like R-Truth would have been good giving the tour. It would have been 15 minutes of great television. So that's what I said to this person in terms of just, and it took me about 5 minutes to write the text. And that's the first two ideas that came to my head. Do something with Zelina and walk around that headquarters before Money in the Bank on Sunday to give us a real, an actual like tour of where these guys could go. It's like, oh, they could go here, or what if they end up here, or oh, what if they end up in this room? Like maybe they could use this object to smash the other one or whatever. But instead, what they did was on this show is everybody talked about the risk versus the reward. It was so fucking fake and manufactured. Everyone had been given the same line to finish their promo by saying the risk is worth the reward. And you know what the risk was that they sold? That someone's going to be fucking falling off the building.
I thought the same thing with the fucking Giant and Hogan. That's all I thought is, if you push me off...
Aleister Black said, if I fall off the building, you better hope that I don't get up and stop you from winning. Did anybody else not clock onto that and think, what the fuck are you talking about, you tattooed moron?
I heard it, and that was the first thing I thought was, what do you mean, if I get up, if I get pushed off the boat? Everyone's threatening to kill other people.
And considering his like wife's dad died in 9/11, and he thinks that he would have survived the fall. Like,
oh my God. You better put a plane through that building if you don't want me to get back up.
And then it's on the same time, like, I mean, that could be insensitive in a jokey kind of way. But then Charlotte came out while we're in a fucking COVID-19 situation. And apparently they say that all of these health workers are dying on the front line. And she said that she was the hardest working person in the world.
I thought we were actually going to be rid of Charlotte too. I was very happy that she was on like NXT. I go, oh, I won't see her for a very long time. And now she's like wrestling on every show because they can't get rid of her. Like I said, I didn't think she'd win that title because we would never see her and they can't get rid of her. And well, this is what they've decided to do, I guess.
Do you think that was a Vince versus like COVID line again, where he was like, fuck this virus.
Did you see what they're selling now with the face masks?
Yeah.
So how in the hell are they, you know, not to acknowledge that this is no such thing, but now they're selling WWE fucking face masks for COVID, for God's sake.
That's got to be something that they thought of as part of their way back in terms of, I think if they bring this back sooner than everybody else
in the arenas, right?
You know what? It sounds ridiculous, but they could legally get away at this point with saying to people, you got to buy your ticket, and before you come in, you've got to buy a mask. Mm-hmm. You got to buy it. Otherwise, you can't go in. Like that, they could actually...
Yeah, bring your own, or they'll be selling them at the door.
Well, that's the thing. They said to themselves, they said that moving... if they move forward with live events and letting people back into television, that the only way they would succeed is to set ticket prices at as low as they've possibly been for the last 10, 15 years. Now, if they do lower ticket prices down to that point, they would instantly make back that deduction by selling a mask at the door. So there'd be no reduction at all.
Oh, that's true. But I mean, I can't see force someone to buy a mask, because I think it would be, you're not allowed in without one. So if you didn't bring one, which you know tons of them won't, then it's, well, if you want to come in still, you need to buy this fucking mask here at the door. Then you can come in and they're $10 or whatever the fuck it is. Speaking of this fake plague, have you seen the latest controversy when they were doing the cash-ins of the Money in the Bank? And the highlights, what they did on one of them.
Are you talking about Roman Benoit?
I'm talking... Roman Benoit, yes. Apparently, he's not allowed to say, listen, I've almost died from cancer. I don't want to risk getting sick. And they said, you pussy, you're banned. We hate you. You're written away.
It's basically like you can't protect your family from getting killed, and you can't kill your family either. These are the two things you can't do.
They are so phony, because didn't Triple H say something like, you know, no repercussions, you won't get any heat. If you are uncomfortable to come, you don't have to come, no repercussions. And anytime you hear that, you go, yeah, my ass. You know damn well you're in trouble if you do that. And Roman decides to fucking back out, because you know that industry is all, you need to work while your leg is falling off. They don't give a fuck. I don't care if you're dying. And so then it's this. They're going, I was like, oh man, Roman is fucked. He is, I could see them putting him on shit pile number one. And that's how he'll get fucking popular, because they'll make him fucking lose constantly and barely be in a story, and people will say, that's fucked up. What the hell is this? And they'll bring him back.
But what are you thinking, though, when you're sitting there watching that at home and you are Roman?
The only explanation I would have is that they wanted to make it look like, make Roman look strong. Or Punk said, Roman look strong and make it look like Brock got pinned. Not that Roman got pinned. They don't want to put negativity on Roman. That is the only turnaround I could think.
Someone put that explanation out.
No, that's my explanation. That's the only thing I could think, if you want to try to find a positive spin to why they would do it other than fucking him. That's the only thing I could think they would even possibly be able to say. Well, we didn't want to make it look like you're weak and got pinned. That's it. Because they make it look like Brock got pinned.
But why do you want to do that either? Because the one guy is coming back before the other.
Probably, yeah. But maybe because they have more... I mean, I can't say more invested, because they put a lot of money into fucking Brock. But, long term, I guess, more for Roman. And obviously, I don't believe that's an excuse, but... If you were pinned down by them and you were cornered by Roman, they said, hey, why the fuck did you do that? And you didn't want to tell the truth? What explanation would you say? We want to make people forget you're around, so it's a big surprise when you come back? So we don't want your face anywhere? That's the other one.
I think it's more along the lines of we don't want anybody to know that we have a wrestler who's isolating from this virus that we don't want to acknowledge.
They want him to forget that he's there, because we'd all say, what happened?
Yeah, they don't want you to question where, you know, it's almost, it's weird because...
Is that what you would tell him? If he asked, hey, how come I'm out? What would you say to him, though?
I don't know if those conversations would be had. I would imagine if I was him that I would have texted yesterday to say, what the fuck was that about? But I think there must be, and I'm going to find out about it this week. I'm going to try and find out the inner workings of that, because I would assume logically that the only reason that this is happening is because he has told them that he will be out for a substantial amount of time. Like, he was coming back when everybody is coming back and they're hugging and kissing, and
when they're fans, I think, is when we see him.
Yeah, or even longer than that, even when the entire, like, when the WWE and everybody else is letting everybody in, because he can't be.
It might be past that, because they're going to be like, well, until it's completely gone and we're getting injected with fucking weird chemicals, that's the only time he's going to fucking say, okay, I need to be 100%. And, you know, I don't know if I blame him that much, because he does have fucking issues with, if he gets the fucking, if he got pneumonia, he fucking dies because of the fucking cancer shit. So, like we said, like we've always argued with other people about that, this disease virus only kills people that do have deficiencies in immune systems. So I believe that he could fucking drop dead if he caught it. He's not just a normal guy that goes, I'm scared. You know, like Owens, he's just scared. That's fucking weird. But then again, he is out of shape. So he could fucking die, maybe, too.
It's not that, I think. I think a lot of people were giving the option as to whether they would stay or go. And the fact is that some people have decided to take WWE up on that. And it is Zayn and it is Owens. And I don't think these people...
you think they just want time off and use this as an excuse?
I don't think they live in the US. I think the people that you're seeing coming in live in Florida or live close to
that's the US. Florida.
I don't think that you're seeing Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens coming in from where they live. I'm thinking you're even not going to see people coming in from the West Coast and things like that. Because Rey Mysterio is from San Diego, I would imagine he doesn't live in San Diego. I know that half of the roster are based Florida, in this Florida area. Yeah, so that's why it's easier for them to get in. But I don't think any of the guys that are coming in from really far out and stuff are doing too much. And I think Owens and Zayn are based in Canada, and I don't think they're going to come into work.
Are they in Canada? I'm not even, you know, yeah, you're right. I think they are, because I think I remember Owens talking about that. Well, that was a long time ago, where he was talking about his heat being shut off and his water freezing. I think he might be in Florida. I'm not sure. I think a lot of time people use it as excuse to say, oh, good, I'm going to take time off and get paid. But I don't even know if they're getting paid if they're taking time off.
Well, they get a downside. Everybody's getting paid on the downside. And the thing is then, with no house shows and live events, there's nothing else to get paid for other than turning up for TV. But I think all of these guys in these like long-term contracts can take a break. But I mean, in terms of them saying there's no punishment for what you do or for however you handle this, let's see how Owens and Zayn are booked when they come back. Let's see the situation with Roman, because at the moment he's being edited out of stupid things on TV and his name's not being mentioned. The Miz, who is apparently responsible for having the symptoms that put Roman off, he's lost every match on TV since he came back. They lost the tag titles and then he got pinned by the Lucha House Party. So how are you telling me that they don't hold grudges when the Miz has lost every match since he came back? Like, what was the reason for ending that tag title reign and giving the New Day another run?
I wonder if they do that to try to give, let's try to have something happen during this problem. So there's something going on. Maybe that excites people, but it doesn't excite you like it did back in the day. I mean, I'm in the middle right now watching all the SummerSlams, and The fucking atmosphere, everything was so fucking different. It was like, it actually fucking hurts to watch, because you go, even the shit matches were like, the crowd was fucking into garbage matches. And I'm like,
that's the thing.
How the fuck is this?
When we did our years last week, mm-hmm. there was no way that anything in, 95 got in there because it was a real down time, but mm-hmm. nothing from the 80s or the early 90s or the Attitude Era featured in our list, because you cannot put it in there just simply for the crowd response alone. And when this business was at its peak, and that's the thing, that's almost what they may try. I don't think they'll get back to it, because I think the business is too exposed, but obviously they're hoping for a boost when cities and states will get the shows again after hungry, not having left them for so long. They're expecting there to be some kind of hunger and then bigger reactions to things when they go back. I just don't think that's going to happen. I think the purity of it is gone, whereas you've seen everything, and after Steve Austin and everything you did at the Attitude Era, the stars have just not been built up to that point. And the thing is that you need to tell the fucking stories. Like, you need to be able to get behind somebody. Somebody needs to chase something. The last time they did it was Punk, and then after that, Brian. And then after that, they've not really got you behind anybody where you're desperate to see them win. I think Drew would have got a decent mm-hmm. reaction had WrestleMania gone ahead with fans there, because they did a decent story there. But it's just way, way too little in terms of how often they do it. And when you're talking about back then, and I don't know what you've particularly watched, but I mean, obviously Honky Tonk Man losing to the Warrior, that was like a massive reaction,
because Honky
had that belt for so long. But even then, even in little examples in terms of Warrior winning his belt back from Rick Rude the following year, because he lost it at WrestleMania 5, and then he would have won it back at SummerSlam 89 and Piper interfered. I assume you've watched that.
I am up to SummerSlam 92. I'm in London right now.
Okay, so you've seen Warrior win his belt back at 89.
From
Rick Rude.
Did he win it back? Yeah, he did. He won it back. I know he, because he lost it, but we didn't see him lose it. Yeah, we didn't see him lose it. So yeah, he got it back. I got to that. I saw that.
So that's not part of the explosive reaction in terms of there being a big surprise, which you can put down for 88. In 89, the Warriors just winning his belt back from Rick Rude, but they're behind it. The following year, he's in a cage match with Rick Rude, and they're behind mm-hmm. every bump that he gives in the cage. Hogan beats Earthquake in a count out and gets back into
and jumps up and down.
and they cheer everything.
Yeah, they cheered that. I was like, they would have booed that out of the fucking building. I'm talking like, I'm looking at some of my notes right now, and I mean, a match you could give two fucks about. You ready for this? IRS versus Greg the Hammer Valentine. The crowd is going
IRS
crazy
wins,
for
and I'm like, he wins with a clothesline, because Greg the Hammer Valentine keeps fucking teasing that figure of four, and then he keeps headbutting him in the groin, right? And then eventually IRS just fucking wins with a clothesline.
No, he doesn't.
What did he do? Roll him up out of a figure of four into a small pack?
There you go. There you go.
Right.
They're very good. Yeah, you know what? We're going to do that one of these days. I'm just going to quiz you on certain matches that are old. See if you nail it.
And that was the piss break match before the match made in Hell. Because that was the match they put on just before the match made in Hell at the end. And even that match was, the match made in Hell's a pile of garbage.
And I'm like, how could that be a match? You got fucking Adnan, Mustafa, and fucking Slaughter. Like, who would give a fuck about that? I guess you're just there to see Hogan and Warrior.
But that's the thing. The rest of the show is stacked. And even though nothing good, I mean, Perfect and Bret is good, but then they go nuts when the LOD win the tag titles in a no DQ match where barely any no DQ stuff even happens. But the LOD, when they finally get those belts at SummerSlam 91, the crowd just goes crazy for it.
Here's a deep cut to see if you remember this. Do you remember the pay-per-view that they were promoting during SummerSlam 91? that there was an October pay-per-view, as something on pay-per-view, and it wasn't a fucking event, but they had a special for October for you to buy. Do you remember? And I did not recall this at all. I was like, hell, I didn't recall the Hammer being a good guy ever. I was like, when the fuck did this happen?
In 1980, in the 88 SummerSlam, they're mainly promoting the boxing match a lot with Donnie Lalonde against Sugar Ray.
There you go.
Yeah. In 91, they were promoting a spotlight series, I believe, on pay-per-view where you could pay $9.99, and it was basically just a recap of one of those profile videos. And I imagine it would have been probably Hulk Hogan.
There you go. I'm sure you don't remember the name of the thing.
Was it real? It wasn't the Real American, was it?
It was. I don't know if I should be proud of you or embarrassed. It was called Hot Ticket, and it was Hulk Hogan, Real American.
People probably think we like prepared stuff.
Jesus
but we haven't even
fucking about Christ!
It.
You'd be ashamed of you. I wonder if you would get the rundown, like first match, second match. There's no fucking way.
What pay-per-view?
Of some of these SummerSlams that I have, because I have the notes. But you know what I would do? I think I would get prepared.
91 starts with a six-man tag.
Well, let me scroll back to 91 here. Okay, go ahead. All right. Yeah, okay, 91. I got it in order, so go ahead.
Okay, so it starts with Steamboat, Tornado, and Bulldog.
Very good.
Is it against I don't know who, I can't remember. Is it Power and Glory and Hercules? Or Hercules is in Power and Glory and the Warlord.
Wow. Very good. And you know what's funny is he's not called Steamboat, of course, anymore. He lost his fucking name.
Second match is definitely Brett and Mr. Perfect.
Very good.
With that see, I was watching these at the time. I was getting these from a neighbor of mine because we didn't have the channel at the time. So I didn't know when they made this transition to this coach guy.
Oh God, fucking coach! I remember Bobby like handed him over, like I'm leaving managerial, but this is who's taking over for me for Mr. Perfect. I'm like, what the hell? Garbage. This coach. So we got a whole bunch of interviews here and before this. Do you remember what happened when, you know how Stu and Helen are watching that match, right? And this was interesting because I went back to, you know, I'm watching it and I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, there's a bit where his dad's still talking and he just takes the mic away from him. Is that what you're going to talk about? Yeah.
He's trying to get a word with Stu and Stu's practically ignoring him because Brett's walking up to him and Alfred goes, oh, and he's here now and this. Then he goes, let me get a talk to you a second. What are your thoughts on your son winning the Intercontinental title? And Stu's like, oh, it was great. And he pulls the microphone. Oh, he's speechless right now. Like, what? And Stu's like staring at him like, what the fuck? I'm in the middle of talking. Next match.
You saw me. The next match, I think it's when they're building. I think the Natural Disasters beat the Bushwhackers, and I think Andre the Giant's out there with them.
Jesus fucking Christ! Yes. You know what? I'm gonna propose a fucking game, but you know what? I don't think
I can really only do these with the older pay-per-views.
Well, that's what I would do it with. But I would do. We would have a game show, and I would be the host. We'll have music behind it, and it's you versus Vince Russo. I will have trivia questions of these pay-per-views. And let's see, you guys have to buzz in, and we'll do like a Jeopardy. Pitch that idea. See what he thinks.
I don't think Vince Russo's a massive
I don't think so either. I mean, he's into wrestling, and it's the older stuff, but I don't know if he'd be able to do that, because that's some different stuff, you know? I mean, you're naming matches in a row.
I know how the end goes here because they get the wedding at the end, the main event, the match made in hell, the IRS and Valentine before it, LOD win the tag team titles just before that. So five and matches, four and five. I don't know the order. I know Bossman and the Mounties left, and Virgil and DiBiase's left. So Jesus. I don't know the order of those two. I guess Bossman and Mounties next.
No.
Or okay.
Virgil DiBiase. And you know what's funny is watching these, like, I completely forget who the fuck's on the card except for a main event or something, right? And
Virgil wins.
No idea that Virgil won the fucking title. I was like, why do I not fucking remember that? Because I was like, oh, that's a letdown. I thought he was going to be all this training and he fucking loses, you know?
Yeah, he loses it by Tuesday in Texas. So if that's Virgil and DiBiase's next, then Bossman and Mount, he's definitely next. Mm-hmm. And then throughout the show, they keep airing all that those good jail segments.
They were good. I remembered certain parts that I was like.
That's why I thought that one came first, because there were so many jail segments. They seemed to go on throughout the show.
Yeah.
So then after that, then it's the street fight where LOD win. Iris and Valentine, match made in hell, match made in heaven.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. And then I laugh at the fucking wedding. It's just so many fucking goofy things. just Macho being Macho Man, you know, because that's how he is in real life. That's the funniest fucking part.
And it's funny because it's one of those weddings where nothing happens.
No, and you're like, oh, and I thought afterwards, after the event, you would see the reception on the network, but they don't. They don't have it following it. I thought it would go right into that because then we'd see the whole Jake with the fucking Cobra and shit. But I guess we see it on Superstars, you know, following. You didn't go to the SummerSlam 92, did you?
No, I didn't. I was watching it then, but we didn't have the channel and stuff. And my dad didn't know that I was heavily into it or didn't.
Does that kill you still?
It's weird because, like, I don't remember having, like, an exact awareness of the fact that it was happening there or when the date was.
Mm-hmm.
I'm only, like, I'm trying to think, 9 years old at this point. So I don't know what, you know, I don't always know what day it is and that SummerSlam's coming up or whatever. I just know that I'm going to my cousin's house to watch it.
I was 16.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, it doesn't kill me because I hadn't been to any wrestling at this point. So I mean, it wasn't common for me to go to shows. The first time I went to shows would be the year after, where Hulk Hogan was touring the UK with the in title matches with Yokozuna, and for my dad, like, this was something to take me to because Hulk Hogan's in London, which is Earl's Court in London, and when I said, "Can we go and watch this?" That was different. I mean. Without Hogan being on this show at the stadium and whatever, I don't know if it was much. It seemed to be as much of a big deal, but I think by this time, the following year, we had the channel at home. It was on TV all the time. It's collecting the toys and everything like that. By the time I'm 10 years old, it's a serious thing to take me to, as opposed to me following it through other people at this point. But obviously, yeah, I've gone back and watched all of it. I've gone back and watched the years of stuff that I didn't watch at the time. But yeah, you're right. Like, everything is big. Even things on WWE Superstars, like the squash matches and all that stuff.
Everybody go crazy for it.
Everybody's getting a reaction. I don't think that it would ever go back to that because we're just not conditioned for that anymore.
And they need craziness now. Nothing impresses anyone anymore. And I think it's watered down. You don't see it as much, but back then. Now it's every fucking day there's something on. Where before, you were lucky every... Like, when was Saturday Night Live? Saturday Night Main Event was once a month? I don't even know. Yeah, I think it was once a month. And I remember, like, I didn't know it was once a month. I know it was far in between, and it was like I would check the channel, or I would see a commercial, and I'd be like, oh, fuck yeah, this week's Saturday Night Main Event, and I would go fucking crazy. Because it was actual guys against actual guys. It wasn't squash matches. So Saturday Night Main Event was fucking enormous to get. Once a month a show? Oh my God. You went crazy for that.
I don't know how you get people excited back for it again. Because it's just been on for so long, and mm-hmm. every trick and whatnot has been done from guys like coming off cages and whatnot. It can only be fresh again in the eyes of, I mean, if you basically kids. Put a whole bunch of 8-year-olds in there, then you would get that reaction again. But the thing is that for people that have seen it, combined with people that haven't seen it, then obviously the people that haven't seen it are the only ones making that big amount of noise again. Unless, of course, you take the product away for a while and then bring it back, which if this has taught us anything, this current situation, that's never, ever going to happen. And then obviously at the same time as well, with Raw and the Raw numbers and everything like that, a lot of people are watching it in terms of fast forwarding it, recording it, watching it back, keeping up with the product that way, keeping up with it on YouTube. I mean, I have a 9-year-old who's already who already knows about Raw through the top 10 moments. And I'm like the person who's like saying to him, oh, you don't watch it like that. That's a shit way to watch it. Like, you can't just watch the top 10.
Yeah.
You don't get a real feel. You don't get a real feel for it or whatever. But the thing is, it's getting so hard to have a go at him for doing that and subjecting him to the full show. Like, I mean, at least we watched the 45-minute show, which cuts out loads of the unnecessary stuff. And, we end up watching it that way at least. Yeah. And I think maybe at least that's acceptable. But I can't force it upon him. He has an interest to the point where he wants to know what happens every week. But he doesn't want to watch 2.5 hours of wrestling, even at 9. And that was unthinkable for me to be that age and not want to watch 2.5 hours of wrestling. But the thing is that it's so stale that a 9-year-old knows there are better things to do. There are better things to watch. This is cutting into my PlayStation time. This is cutting into my outside time. This is cutting into me watching other things on TV. And I'll give you an example of how it's not about him being a kid mm-hmm. and kids being conditioned to not want to sit in front of the TV for that long. We watched Cobra Kai seasons 1 and 2 in a day and a half. He kept saying to me, one more, dad, one more, oh, one more. I want to see what happens with that. Oh, one more. It is the best fucking TV show I've ever seen in my life. I thought it would be a stretch that they would, how would they get these characters across? But season one is done perfectly well. And then right at the end of season one, John Kreese comes back and he's in, and it's the cliffhanger that gets you to season two. People had to wait a year for that. Like, I would have been fucking going crazy if I'd watched this when it came out, but I didn't even know how to get it because this whole YouTube thing seemed so complicated, but it wasn't. I ended up, once I finally committed to, once my son was interested in the first 2 episodes, suddenly it took me 5 minutes to figure out how to work YouTube Red, and I had it up immediately. He paid the £15 for the month, and we just rolled off episode after episode after episode after episode. So it's not about an attention span. It's not about mm-hmm. how young people are. It's not, once when something's good, it's just fucking good. And have you seen this show?
No.
Oh my god! You into The Karate Kid? The film.
I mean, I watched it. I mean, back in the day, I liked it. I recently had to watch it again, and I wasn't going crazy from it or anything.
I don't think you need to be a massive fan because this show is better than the films. But you need to at least be familiar with Daniel and Miyagi, Johnny, and everything. The storytelling for each character is so fucking good. Everybody. Is on a journey, like from the start to the finish, be it Daniel, like, you know, who's reliving his rivalry with Cobra Kai, and the main character is actually Johnny, who reopens Cobra Kai and then has issues with the whole no mercy thing. He's slowly becoming like a better person, and there's like kids being bullied, and some of them just want to like not be bullied, and they end up like being popular, but some of them then turn into the bullies because they love having the power so much. And there's a difference between the way John Kreese teaches it and Johnny teaches it, because he's still like with the whole no mercy thing. And then you have a divide there, and it's just fucking so, so detailed and yet so easy to understand, because, you know, everybody's story is simple, but everybody has one. There's nobody on that show that isn't going through some kind of story. And yet we have the wrestling where they can, where different people can come in and out all the time. They mm-hmm. don't need to find a way to go, shit, how do we connect Johnny and Sensei Kreese from 30 years ago because they fell out? How do we connect Johnny and Daniel again in the same town? How do we connect Johnny to his long lost son? And it's so crazy because, like, in certain points of it, like, Johnny doesn't want to speak to his son, but then his son ends up being mentored by Daniel, and Johnny's son is living in Daniel's house. And
Jesus,
it's so fucking good. So fucking good. Like, I can't even explain to you, like, how you don't need to love the Karate Kid at all. And even if you didn't watch a second of it, they'll still go back and
explain it. It's still just
it.
A good, like, show to watch, yeah.
Well, they do flashbacks in terms of when Daniel's... Oh. When there's an incident, and then Daniel... Or when Johnny's like... Johnny still thinks about his loss to Daniel in the tournament stuff. And then at the start of season three, there's like a trailer out for it. They actually did a 30 for 30, a fake 30 for 30 on the Karate Kid tournament from 1984. So they do, it's like a 30 for 30 on the 1984 tournament. That's how detailed it is. They actually get all the people from ESPN to be involved in the 30 for 30 on the 1984 All Valley Karate Tournament.
Huh.
It honestly, compared to this, what we're watching now, like, it's just apples and oranges completely. It's just like, Jesus, this is how you do TV. This is something that was popular in the 80s, and then they brought it back and modernized it completely. And it is possible. And then when you look at all the other options in terms of, okay, so I didn't think Tiger King was as good as people made
out.
Yeah,
it
wasn't.
I was expecting something crazy to happen or something.
Yeah, and then you've got this other show on called Afterlife that I've watched every week. I mean, Save the Last Dance. I mean, as soon as it's out, I knock out the two episodes immediately.
Save the Last Dance. what's the name of that show?
What did I just say? Save the Last Dance.
Yeah.
Isn't it just The Last Dance?
Yeah.
I think I said that wrong somewhere else today as well.
That's funny. You know, there's another one that I'm stuck on now, and it's the first season of 90 Day Fiancé Before the 90 Days. You have never seen so many fucked up people. They are losers beyond belief. People who have to fly across the world because they met someone online. It's the greatest show fucking ever. People don't even speak the same language and they're fucking visiting each other. It's the greatest. I've been on fire watching that.
That's because people are like desperate.
Oh, big time. Big time. And people are trying to come to America. So they're the better looking usually of the people. And then it's a fucking troll that's going over there to get them. And, like, they're getting catfished, and, oh, it's fucking great. It's fucking
this fantastic. Is the thing. There's just so much on.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that, do you know that, like, this company re-signed 2 5-year deals last year, and they were both for $1 billion each, which means that they're getting $200 million a year from USA and Fox. Like, the USA one goes under the radar a lot more, but that's actually more than the Fox one.
Mm-hmm.
I worked this out today. Hold on, let me go back and do the maths again. So they paid $265 million a year divided by 52. All right, every time that Raw do an episode of Raw, they're getting $5 million a week.
Jesus.
Right, which works out to $1.7 million for every hour that they do.
Wow!
Someone's paying $1.7 million for this hour. When you compare that to back in the day, all of the cast of Friends were getting publicity for the fact that they were getting $1 million each, and the cast of Seinfeld were getting $5 million each. So Seinfeld were being paid $20 million an episode,
mm-hmm.
and they were doing numbers that were just 10 times bigger than what these guys are doing. These guys are getting $5 million a week to do a 1.68 or whatever they did this week. Obviously, they're not expecting those numbers because of the situation. But even when they were doing 2, 2.5, what is the justification for what they're being paid? Because there's no way that any other shows are doing 2s or 2.5s and getting $5 million a week.
Yeah.
And it's not like it's these people that buy this content from, be it Friends and Seinfeld and all that, this is shit that they're still being put on TV today. So you can buy it, you can pay Jerry Seinfeld and the cast of Friends or whatever, but you can play it over again and again and again and again and again. Who the fuck is going to rerun this episode of Raw ever again in their life?
Oh, God, yeah, you won't.
Or anything we've seen in the last 10 years, why would you rewatch any episode of it?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to me, like how they've managed to negotiate this money. They've convinced people that they have this 18 to 49 demo locked up in the bag. And one of the big things in the Fox deal was that they promised a 1.0 on this demo on most weeks. Mm-hmm. And they are averaging a 0.8. And last week they pulled 0.5 in the demo. Like, so they're getting half of their demo that Fox care about, because I think Fox knew that the actual rating was going to be somewhere around a 3, and it's not. It's lower. It's the rating's lower, and the demo is lower. The demo is like way, way down. Like, I don't know what these 18 to 49 year olds are watching, but that's the demo that me and you are in. You're just about in it still, and they're not going to be sitting there and watching 3 hours of this shit.
Yeah,
because all the programs that we've said. I mean, that's the thing, like, you've just pitched me a program and I've just, like, mentioned a program to you,
mm-hmm.
but we have other friends, and I imagine that, like, there's other guys telling you, hey, Cav, why don't you watch this and why don't you watch that? And same for me, I've got guys going to me, oh, you need to watch the Ozarks and...
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? There's, like, so many. Mm-hmm. Like, the Ozarks is one that I do want to start because I do like that. Everything that Jason Bateman has done, like, yeah. I like his film.
I got a little bit into that and then I stopped. I didn't.
I liked Arrested Development as well. And Arrested Development season 5 just snuck on Netflix and I didn't even know about it. Like, that's another thing I need to go and do. Like, I can't justify continuing to give this show 5 hours, and I certainly wouldn't be doing it if we didn't have these shows to do, and especially if I wasn't, like, tied in with Russo at the moment. But it's so fucking bad. I can't remember it being any worse. I don't think it's going to take too many more weeks before I make 2020 my, like, worst year ever.
Like, I'm watching Curb Your Enthusiasms all over again, and it doesn't get old. Like, you can watch the same episodes of that shit constantly because you'll always laugh and you'll always fucking laugh your ass off from it. But yeah, with Raw, all, like, my old tapes, those are the fucking good times, and I was struggling to fucking keep recording because it was so bad, and then I finally just stopped, you know? But no one's going to listen. Good.
Do you think, like, in terms of if this was purchased by a Disney or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and they bought in somebody like a Larry David or just somebody, the kind of people that produce these shows on Netflix, like the Save the Last Dance documentary or
Save the Last Dance.
Say it again. Or the Last Dance documentary or Save the Last Dance is something. It's a film or something, isn't it?
Save the Last Dance. I think it is a movie. Yeah, I think it's a girly movie, though. It's, you know, I mean, it's what people say to people. Save me the Last Dance.
Is it that one where that white girl is into hip hop and then the black guy? Like,
I don't think that's that movie. I think, what the fuck movie is that one? But I know what you're talking. Julia Stiles. She's with a black guy in every fucking movie.
Save the Last Dance. It is that movie.
Oh, that's fucking hilarious. That's a gay movie you're referring to.
That's why that's in my.
Why don't you get Dirty Dancing too next, faggot?
52% Rotten Tomatoes. I tell you what, the Cobra Kai's got on Rotten Tomatoes, 98%.
I can't ever go by Rotten Tomatoes ever again, because when we do our movie of the week from the 80s, look up the fucking movie Repo Man and look at how many Rotten Tomatoes that has. It is the worst movie you've ever seen in your fucking life, and it has, like, the highest ever.
What was wrong with it?
It's just, it's unwatchable. You don't know what the fuck you're watching. You don't understand. It's just a bad fucking movie. It's not even bad good. It's like you're angry when you're watching it because you're like, this is terrible.
Okay, but the thing is that it's got 6.9 out of 10 on IMDb and 75% on mm-hmm. Metacritic. So there was some indication there. If you go to the Cobra Kai
mm-hmm.
this series I'm telling you about, these things are, like, off the charts. 8.8 from IMDb, 5 out of 5 on Facebook, 94% on Rotten Tomatoes, and 97% of people like the show on Google. Like these, I've never seen numbers like that.
I've heard people talk about it too and say how good it was.
Oh my god, it's so fucking good. I might watch it all again, even though I have like a big list of things to watch that like we just mentioned. But the point I was making before you took me off with the Save the Last Dance mm-hmm. thing. If they did bring in these creative people and they were from Hollywood and mixed together and they did a mishmash of guys, say you say people that work in sport, and they keep some of these talented producers that do video packages, and they brought in somebody like somebody who's produced a big sitcom or whatever. If they got the right mix together, and it was run independently, and Disney completely done away with the McMahons and looked at it, this is a whole new different thing. Is there any way to change this product and do something completely different with it? I mean, because we've seen one idea from Matt Hardy and we've got 7 matches out of it, and it basically saved WrestleMania. And that came from like one guy's brain where he created a different kind of match. And if Matt Hardy didn't create that match, then WrestleMania would have been complete dog shit this year. So maybe, is there any, do you think there's guys with other ideas?
You know, it depends on the, because it has to be still somebody who's familiar with wrestling writing. I don't think just movie making or something, you know what I mean?
I don't disregard the fact that the final outcome needs to occur inside the ropes and inside the mat. But in terms of getting that, I mean, Cobra Kai, I'll bring it up again, that concludes inside of the, with the karate tournament at the end of the series. But we get 9 episodes before that. So what are you, I'm talking about the 9 episodes. I'm talking about before we get to the karate tournament, or in this case, it be the match at the end of the feud. How do we do better with the 9 parts before we get to the match? And can somebody else do that? Because the McMahons no longer tell any stories. There has to be people with better ways to do that.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. And I think it's also they would have to realize they have to take a step back and let the wrestlers come up with things the way like AEW is, where they pitch something and the owner's like, all right, cool. It's up to you. It's your character, but you always have to, you know, check first, because I don't want you going out there in a fucking white hood or something if this isn't what the fuck we want. But where Vince thinks like, he's just like, no, and it ends there. There's no like committee to say, let's give something a shot. He's just like, I don't get it. The end. Or
how can he think, how can he look at what he's putting out and think that it's good?
I don't know. And apparently he does. Like, he can't believe half the time, like, what's wrong? That's great. You know, as we always hear the interviews, that's great shit. You know, it's like, what are you talking about? So I don't know. I think a lot of people like where they go, you got to grab the brass ring and all that bullshit. I mean, you do to a point, but you also going to lose your fucking job. You know, because if you don't have the stroke and you're just like, no, and then he's going to be like, fuck off. So I don't know if where you beg.
The thing is, even at our level on doing this podcast, like we have had conversations before where we've addressed it. And we had a run of shows a few weeks ago where I said to the group, and I said, these shows are better than the shows that we've done before. We've recently done some better shows, and I want to keep the podcast at that level. And I think since that point, I think the shows have been better. But the fact that at this small level of the minuscule income that we inherit, that we care enough to say, we need to look at our shows and we need to make them sound better. Mm-hmm. And we need to like think about what we're going to say, and we need to put like more effort in, and we need to keep it at the level that we've got raised the bar to. And it was that week where me and Nick did a show, and then me and you did a show, and me and Umar did a show like right at the start of COVID. And I think through the whole COVID period that our shows have been much better. Like I think last week's show was really good. And then I think like, we're doing another one now, but the fact is that doesn't seem to resonate with this fucking massive company that is the heart of the show that we are doing. Like all these podcasts exist because of this company, but they don't seem to raise the quality of their products at all. It just doesn't make any sense to me how he's sitting there thinking that this is good. And the thing is, the other thing is, last week we didn't even touch on the fact that he looks half dead. Like, we did a show last week and we didn't mention the fact that he came out on that Triple H appreciation show and he looked half dead.
Well, I mean, listen, the guy's got a fucking old man. I mean, what are you going to do with that? But you know what I was going to mention too about that? We never said how he's like, oh, you know, if it wasn't for everything, I would have come down and give you a big hug, or Sean, me and you would have done that elbow bump. And I'm like, but minutes ago, you have guys rolling on top of each other, but you're afraid to go give your son-in-law a hug? I was like, that's a little fucking odd that you're not worried about everybody else, but you can't go give a hug because that's not social distancing. Like, he doesn't want to be looked at like that.
Do you think that was because he was old? Like, that, I thought the same
it's gotta
thing
be.
As you. And I thought, is he saying that because he realizes that he's old? Because that is very much against the Vince McMahon that I would always, where it's like, oh, there is no sick and like power through, pal, and working hard and being at work every day and going to the gym at 1 o'clock in the morning and all this stuff people say about him. And now he's like, is he really saying, oh, I need to distance myself because from the COVID because I'm old?
God, I would think so. I think it's almost so, because I bet he's hugging people in the fucking back when they come in from a great match. So I'm thinking it's, I need the public to see that I'm doing the proper thing by staying away, like we're told to. Meanwhile, though, it's very catch-22 because he's having his people fucking roll around on each other, so he can't say, look, I'm behaving.
Did you listen to the theory on the Russo podcast where Disco said the WWE should come out and say that we have people that got it, our guys are healthy, we're going to be fine, we're going to continue and open up, and we're not bothered about COVID-19. Like, that was one of the more ridiculous things I think that was said on that show, because the backlash would be crazy.
Yeah, that's true. They wouldn't take it as a positive. They would turn it into, how irresponsible are they?
Yeah, although we know the likelihood of anybody, the only person who's in any danger is out
Vince.
Well, I mean, Roman, I would say.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's out there. But, I mean, in terms of Vince, I think when you're saying he's an old man and whatever, mm-hmm. I think that's a big leap in terms of where he was at 4 or 5 years ago. And the fact that he found it more difficult to speak. Whatever we say about Lawler and in terms of how poor his commentary is and how inappropriate he is or whatever, he's a lot more coherent and he looks a lot more healthy than Vince. And I believe that they are both the same age.
Yeah, I mean, I think Vince, with the whole, like, he never sleeps, never gets enough rest, he looks tired, like the eyes. It's the eyes of being red, and, like, he's just fucking worn out. But, I mean, when you're, the man's over 70 years old, and there has to be a wall eventually that you hit. And I think he just hit that fucking wall where everything fucking falls apart. But, you know, you wonder, you go, oh, he's on death's doorstep. 70's not a crazy old fucking number. My father looked good for 70 until he fucking dropped dead one day. But, I mean, that motherfucker can go to 90. But I think he's one of those, like, he's worried once he stops working, then he's dead. If he stops.
Oh, in terms of the body, like, mentally.
Yeah, like, you got nothing to do now, so you die.
Okay, but there's a very big difference between nothing to do and completely stepping aside to reducing what you do and giving away more responsibility and reducing your say and reducing your involvement and still.
But do you think that's giving up? Like, not giving up, you know, more of like, boy, I hate to admit it, because now this means like my life is fucking, you know, there's no coming back. I'm not going to get any younger. Once I start giving stuff away, it means I'm going away soon. I'm not going to be in this soon. And so you hang on for all you got until the last second.
Yeah, but the thing is, if you fully hang on to the last second, then nobody else is going to have any know-how in terms of how to do your role. I mean, you sure, as a parent, at least, mm-hmm. you have to learn to delegate these. And the thing is he's in a situation where it is a family business, and and the people that he cares about are involved and are in line to take this all over, be it whenever he goes. So do you not want Stephanie to know how to be in charge?
I think they know how, though, already. I think that's been trained. I think Triple H steps in tomorrow, and it wouldn't... It would be better. I'd say wouldn't miss a beat, but it'd be better than the beat it has now. Because he's pretty much in charge of NXT. Like, I don't think Vince is sitting there saying, I want this, I want that. It's pretty much left to Triple H, I think. So how you see NXT, I think, is how you're going to see fucking Raw and SmackDown. It's going to have a different feel, and I think it's going to have better fucking stories. It's...
Yeah. How do you view the difference between Cody and Triple H's philosophies in wrestling in terms of, let's say that happened, and then it becomes a straight out Triple H runs this and Cody and Tony Khan collectively run the other, because I believe they're in mm-hmm. charge mainly of the booking. Like, how would you see it like comparing then? Or do you think it'd be very similar on both ends?
Well, I mean, I don't know exactly how Cody and the other dude, like, from anything I've heard.
Well, they tell stories. They tell stories. They took 3 months to align MJF with Cody, and then MJF turned on him. And every single person on that show, as much as I'm a WWE mm-hmm. guy, over on there, everybody is involved in a story. And if they're not, they have the side story of, I'm trying to climb the rankings, and this is mm-hmm. what my ranking is, and I'm 5 spaces away from a title shot. It's a good backup to have.
I think it's then the way they would do it is similar, because in NXT they do storylines, and Triple H has that old school, likes to build to something, and I think they would do that. And I also think they might even do away with some pay-per-view. I mean, or they would change it to where, like, certain feuds don't go to the next pay-per-view. They're going to skip one, you know, to make it look more drawn out, to where you finally get to see these two fight, and it's been at the least 2 months of waiting. Because before, it'd be like 4 to 6. And now it's 30 days. There's a whole program done. Now on to the next. It's too quick. So I think... they're both very, very similar with what they would do. Because you hear some of these stories with Triple H and how he was like begging Vince, just fucking I'm telling you, this will work. Just give it a shot. And he's like, go ahead, whatever. And it's fucking good. And those people that say, if this doesn't work, you could fire me. That seems to work too. Because you have to, like your friend over there, if he really believes in something, I mean, obviously, you could even say, if this doesn't work, you could fire me. They're not going to fucking fire him. But if you say it, at least it looks like you're like, I am telling you, this is my feeling with all my heart. You have to let him know how much you believe in something, and that it's not just, I have an idea, come on, how come you don't want to do it? You got to be like, I'll put my fucking life on the line. That's how positive I am about this working. And I think that's the only way he will give in and say, I'll give it a shot, where you say, fucking, then don't pay me if it doesn't work, or fire me if it doesn't work. That's how sure I am about this, when he is that adamant about it not happening. So
the problem
you gotta be sure.
What's your barometer in terms of how do you measure what worked and what doesn't work when you have a rating system which is regulated to people tuning out in the second hour? So in the first hour of SmackDown, more people watch. In the second hour, they don't. But less people watch the show. In Raw, it's always hour one is the highest, hour three is the lowest. It's almost people are programmed in to do that in terms of they turn off. They see there's nothing great happening, and then they tune out and they watch it the next day. So do you think that the measuring device is put me on hour three, and it would be, and it's simply a case of, and it will be better, and it will be the least drop, you know, if it's a much lesser drop off than the week before, then that is simply your measuring device.
My measuring is, for one, it's chatter on the internet as well. If it gets a buzz with people talking and tweeting and being like, oh fuck, did you see that? Because like we say, people do shut shit off.
Then you have that stupid cunt Lana being on there going, oh, I'm so great, like, look how many views my video's got and stuff. But that it's but she's terrible. So I don't know how.
No, I'm talking about it, like, the the fans who tweet, because when we've seen something great, you know, I mean, it starts to get a fire on the internet where people start saying, did you see this? Did you see this? And, you know, everyone commenting with hashtag whatever. But I also, if somebody was going to do something that said, I think this idea is fucking fantastic, whatever it is, I think that idea, and if you're stuck with that third hour to do what your idea is, which is a fucking death sentence kind of, you would have to have something that says, all right, I get to do this, but I need to also do something in the first segment and maybe the second segment, so it travels into it. I need this to be almost a build, so you know something good is coming and I need to watch. You can't just, or something great happens because you go, well, I didn't know it was coming, so I wasn't going to fucking wait to fucking find out.
Or if it's a longer thing, then I need 2-3 weeks.
Yes, I think that more so than just a one night thing. It's got to be a crazy build to something great. So if you're leading into it each week, then by the third time that it's going to happen, then it could be by itself in third, but they would be promoting it every week that, fuck, this is finally, you know, coming down and we've seen a little piece of something each week. Then you're going to be, you know, I got something invested in here. I want to see where this goes. Well, one day, I don't care.
I don't get what they have to lose by, if Bray has all of these wacky ideas and he's completely in tune with modern day thinking and modern day news, and he wants to go down a darker route of his character, and he does want to bring in this Illuminati conspiracy stuff and everything and have an alignment with that, and he knows exactly how he wants it to develop. What do you have to lose when you're not pulling in the demo, your numbers are right down below where they should be, and you turn around and say, you know what, Bray, do what you want. Don't do anything that loses us any sponsors. Your guidelines are this: you cannot lose us any sponsors, and you cannot do anything that causes us any major backlash. But if you work within the realms of that, if you can do this without losing us any sponsors, then you can do it on TV. What do they have to lose? Because I'm pretty sure that Bray could operate within those rules.
You know, I don't know if Bray has to, like, literally go to Vince and say, like, word for word, be like, Vince, I'm at my wit's end. What do you need me to do to convince you to let me do this? I think you've seen what I've done in the past. Everything has gotten over big. What is stopping you from just letting me do these ideas? If it's horrible, it will never happen again. So you don't even need to say, oh, I'm worried about... What's going to happen if it failed? The whole character's not ruined for one fucking shit bit. And there's not going to be a winner every time. But he needs to, like, fucking get down in, like, a face-to-face man level, only them in the room, and be as sincere as possible and say, I have my heart and soul into this idea. What is the problem? Why can't I do this? And maybe Vince has a real explanation. I mean, you have to listen to what somebody says. And obviously, the man's been around a million years. He knows, you know, he created this. And we know it's all kind of slipping away at this point. But
when you listen to, and I'm just assuming that you have, when you listen to Moxley and his shoot interview when he left and everything, and that's where this whole good shit thing came from. Because Moxley was the one that spoke about it. You know that the man is out of touch, and his reasoning doesn't make any sense. That's why Moxley left. And you think it's going to take more people at Moxley's level, and I'm not talking about a No Way Jose or a Curtis Axel or even a Rusev leaving, or Rusev is a pretty substantial name, but I'm talking like another John Moxley. I'm talking about a Bray and people like that just saying, I would rather just leave. I know I can make the most money here, but I'm not satisfied with my career, which is what Moxley did.
I think someone has to have the balls to really have a heart-to-heart and not be scared of a consequence, not be scared of anyone's feelings being fucking hurt, and say flat out, people are upset. You have zero to lose at this point, Vince. This company has nothing to lose. You're not going to lose any fucking fans. The people who are watching are watching. Your ratings aren't going to fucking go down anymore. It's already shit. What is the problem to let some of the wrestlers think for themselves and have their own storylines. Why won't you give everybody a month to come up with their own storylines and see what happens? Guess what? It can't get any fucking worse. And say that because he'll be offended by it. What do you mean it can't get any worse? It's shit. And people like Austin could say that kind of stuff. And you say, it's shit. And give everyone a chance. You have fucking zero to lose, but someone has to say that to his face. And I don't even think like Triple H says that, because it's almost like he has to fucking beg for things, where you got to almost get, I mean, obviously you don't want to be screaming and yelling, but you got to be like, you shake your head and just be like, dude, I don't get this. What is the problem? Make him explain why, other than because I said so. And if he were to say something like, I said so, be like, well, guess what? You're going to be the only one left in this company. Because everyone's going to fucking leave because it's not a happy work environment. You can't just not give and take. There has to be a talking thing. And from what I know of Vince from, you know, old shit and all that kind of stuff, you can talk to him and, you know, say, what about this? What about this? And he gives his input and stuff like that. So I don't know if things have changed in the old age where he's just like, no, I couldn't tell you. I've never been there. I mean, I would love to have a conversation with a friend of yours, and just on, not even on the fucking air, because it would help me understand more, and I would give this same suggestion, because I think your friend has that little bit of a scaredness to him as well, which, it's your employer. It's not a put down to say he's scared, but I don't think he has any fucking reason to be scared. I don't think they have the power to even bury him if they wanted to. If he went out there and they made him lose every fucking match, do you think the fans are going to fucking stand for it? The fans will fucking stop it. It'd be because everyone would go, the fuck is wrong with him? This makes no sense. Why? What the hell happened? So I can't imagine he'd be afraid of being buried. But he has to be able to say, listen, I'm not fucking doing it. It's, you know, all due respect, God bless you, you started this, but this is not a good idea. And this is what I want to do. Why can't I be given the chance to do this? One fucking mistake is not going to bury this company. So it's to where he's got this smiley on the fucking, you know, promotions. He needs to go in there and fucking like slam his fist down. Go, how many times do I got to ask?
He did. Take my fucking smile off. He did, actually, and it got changed this week. So it does. So
did they? Stuff. Because I see him on that fucking Money in the Bank smiling.
No, they changed it. If you saw at the end of Raw, just before Rollins came out, that's it was changed, and that's what he wanted, and he did get it. So this is the thing: when people are insistent about a very specific thing, mm-hmm. and explain why they want, you know, they want why that certain thing doesn't work for them, then you can get things done. But you have to have a reason.
Yes. Yeah. And you can't just argue to argue. It's that hill to die on thing. Pick and choose your battle.
Exactly. And I believe his argument was, this is not my character. This is not in line with what we created. And I think he went and said that, and I think that they listened.
You know what I would like to do too? Well, they've already listened to it, so it won't matter. But what I would have done, I go into my basement and I pull out my WWE magazine. And I get the one magazine with Diesel on the cover with the belt. And he's smiling. And I would walk into the office with the fucking magazine, throw it down on the desk and go, tell me what's wrong with this. It's in their face. There's physical proof that they fucked that up. Go,
actually, I think,
what's the difference?
I think he went in with three photos of Kevin Nash.
No shit, where he's all mean in the face, and then another one where he's fucking smiling. Go, which one's the problem?
I think he went in with three photos of Kevin Nash and said to them, "What one looks the most out of place?"
Wow!
I believe that is actually what he did, and I think I remember that specifically because I was talking to him about Nash from the stuff that you said, mm-hmm. and I remember digging up that magazine cover, and he said to me, like, that's what I can use. So
there you go.
I believe that he went in with a Diesel 94 and a Diesel 93, a magazine cover and a Wolf Pack or an NWO or something, and all the expressions, the two others were cool and mean and happy.
Mm. Because, yeah, I can see sarcastic Nash. That's fun. Because that's him. That's his real self. And it fits him well. When Drew tries to do, you know, jokey and stuff, it doesn't sing true to me. And that's probably him in real life, though. I mean, he's a nice guy and, you know, that kind of stuff. But it does not come over. It's the borderline Cesaro thing where it's just not. It won't work if he tries that on that TV. Like, his character needs to be more, would they, intense, and that's what his character is. So, with that fucking smile, thank God he fucking realized it and is self-aware to go, what the fuck?
Well, have you seen the new picture?
No, I haven't. Like I said, I could swear I saw that fucking Money in the Bank all the way up where he's sitting in the middle with a fucking smile holding the belt.
Let me show you. Before we close out,
yeah.
Do you have any like big picks for Sunday? We should talk about it because I mean,
I guess that is the pay per view Sunday where they're doing it on Mother's Day and fucking up. I don't know why they would do that. They figured because we're all quarantined that we're not going to see our mothers. I guess. Jeez, you know what? And having both go at the same time is fucking strange too. I'm like. You could have two ladder matches. Why do they got to have them both at the same time now? Maybe because they don't want it to lose lackluster if they're both going on the roof and like we already saw it, you know?
Yeah.
So it'd be all at the same time. God, who's in each match? I mean, we were thinking Aleister Black would be the one to win that, right? I laugh because Otis is so much out of place in this match, but talk about a push for fucking Otis. The guy's a tag team guy. Now all of a sudden he's a fucking star. I love Otis. He's fun as hell.
Yeah, my son loves him.
Oh, he's great.
It's just something different. I don't think Black will win. I just don't see him with a briefcase, and I don't think he needs it. I think
you need bad guy, right?
Yeah, I think Black can get there with wins.
Who's in it?
Okay, so we've got on Raw we've got Mysterio, AJ, and Black. And on SmackDown, we've got Daniel Bryan, Baron Corbin, and Otis.
It's either Corbin or fucking AJ, but I'm going to think AJ.
I find it difficult to see why you would bring AJ back unless he was winning it. But at the same time, I think Drew is in for a longer run on this brand than Braun is, so... I can see somebody being cashed in on. But at the same time, also, I think this thing with Strowman and Wyatt is just going to be he beats Bray Wyatt and then he loses to The Fiend at a later pay-per-view. Because if you notice the graphics on it, he's not facing The Fiend.
Oh, it's Wyatt, huh?
That's what it looks like. And
it would make sense because it's the Wyatt family that the whole fucking thing is, you know?
Yeah, and it looks very deliberate. So, yeah, I would... say I would lean towards AJ, but I wouldn't be surprised if Baron Corbin gets it back again. I'm the same as you. I just can't see
Baron's got too much stuff. It could be King, fucking Money in the Bank. It's too much. I have no doubt he'll be champion just because he's a good guy to boo. Everyone hates him so much, so he'd be good as a bad guy champion for sure. But yeah, I'll go with fucking AJ to do that. And also, doesn't this mean, because there's not two Money in the Bank ladder matches for the guys or brands, it's you cash in on whoever the fuck you want. So I think that's where they'll fool us, actually. It'll be the other brand that the other person cashes in on. So you'll expect it on the one the whole time.
Yeah, I just think there's some issue with AJ working on Fridays. I think he goes and does something with his kid or one of his kids and doesn't want to work Friday. I can't remember what it was, whether his kid plays baseball or something, I'm not sure. But the women's match is a bit easier for me. I just think that Shayna Baszler will win it. I know Becky's coming on to Raw next week to confront the winner.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's any chance in hell that means anyone from SmackDown's winning. So I think it just leaves it down to Nia and Shayna. But I think that Nia is less likely to win the title than Shayna.
Oh, see, the Naya thing is good just because of the whole fucking real life history.
Yeah, but I think they can get into that next.
But how the hell does she climb that ladder? She's going to look like a cartoon. Every time she takes a step, the ladder breaks down one. It pushes it into the ground.
Yeah.
Look like an escalator. Yeah, the Shayna thing is a good idea too, and that's, and you know what? That's the only way to get this belt off of Becky too, because it wouldn't be a fair win. Which actually makes sense. She goes against Nia Jax and wins, but gets killed practically by Nia Jax, and then old Baszler slides right the fuck in.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I see it happening as well. I just think to myself that they're trying to get to the Ronda situation, and I think at some point when this is all cleared up, that Ronda can come down and beat Becky up, and then that's when Shayna can.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's a very good idea. And like you say, they gotta hang on until the plague is gone.
The plague. And then I think all you get then is then Ronda beating up Becky, Shayna cashes in, Shayna loses it back to Becky pretty quickly, and then you go move on to Ronda. I don't see anything long term for Shayna. I think Becky can easily keep this belt for most of this year as well, and I think we'd almost be looking at a year and a half in. The Nia feud will keep her going until through the summer, because they do have to do that at some point.
You don't think if we get an actual SummerSlam, that's where you could have Ronda come out and beat the shit out of Becky for Baszler to then show up?
Yeah, I would think that you do the Nia feud, and after a couple of matches with Nia Jax, Ronda could come down and beat the shit out of Becky, and then Shayna could cash in, and then you can do some Shayna and Becky stuff.
And you could say, I had a take on Nia Jax, Ronda Rousey, and then Shayna Baszler, and then I lost my title.
Yeah.
I mean, we got to wait until see if there's going to be, because there's no way in hell Ronda comes back without a crowd, right?
No, not at all.
Good. I hope they don't do that stupid shit where they just go, oh yeah, we're going to fucking, you know, I mean, we got fucked on the night after Mania thing. Hell, we got fucked on Mania. So, you know, it is what it is. So
Drew and Rollins, which I think is pretty straightforward.
Which is interesting because they're making it a big deal. Like there's actually a chance. But yeah, I mean, he just won the championship. He ain't losing it the next time.
No. Then we have Bayley against Tamina. Said Nia again.
Close enough. Bayley.
And then the only other match that I can see that's been added here is the Fatal 4-Way on SmackDown for the tag titles, which New Day against the Forgotten Sons, Miz and Morrison, and
Uso.
Lucha House. It's Lucha House Party. One of the Usos is out for 6 to 9 months.
Really?
Yeah.
The fuck happened?
He got injured in the Money in the Bank match.
Really?
Yeah. Not the Money in the Bank. The WrestleMania ladder.
The ladder match? No shit. Huh? What the fuck happened to him? Like something small, but needed some surgery for it?
I have no idea. Wow. I can't.
They break easily, or they get arrested. It's one or the other.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. There's only one of them left, and it's weird because when one's off, the other one could do something, but there's no way.
They never do. Yeah. No. They just have them tag with somebody random.
It's the same thing with Authors of Pain. Like, the Authors of Pain guys are not there either.
Well, I guess they're very much like... did one of the Authors of Pain to be weird? It's kind of like a demolition, you know? Like, oh, Axe is hurt. Okay, well, Smash will be in a singles for a while. It doesn't fit with certain guys. Like Hitman could have went by himself. Shit like that. But there's certain ones that are very... Like, you couldn't have seen one of the Rockers be by themselves without a different gimmick. You know? And so they would have to have a different gimmick. I think even they could possibly do an Uso thing. I don't think they're stuck in like a gimmick, so I think they could do it if they wanted to, but that's on them. So, you want to plug anything before we get out?
No, I'm now on Vince Russo's show, The Brand, on the Realm Network. I'm on there this month. I'm on there once a week, every Wednesday.
What do you call it? What's the network?
The Realm Network.
I thought it was Realm.
Yeah, I'm saying Realm. Realm.
Oh, Realm. You're saying okay. No, okay. That's the English. That's all.
Yeah. Either way, R-E-L-M.
Okay.
R-E-L-M. And it's the Vince Russo brand. You can hear me on there. My lock betting stuff is going to be back up and running now, more or less. Even though I'm 16 and 4, in Belarusian football, people are waiting for the bigger leagues to come back. The German Bundesliga is back on 15th of May, thank God. There's UFC at the weekend, Money in the Bank.
I might start watching soccer.
Yeah, so I'll be back in business this month, thank God. I've lost enough patrons as it is. So if you guys want to come back, it's lockbetting.com. But the wrestling stuff is at dirtysheets.net or the dirtysheets.com. Not the Dirty Sheets. It does have an S on it still. But if Vince and Disco and people keep saying it wrong, I might have to just go and buy the one without the S too. But at the moment, dirtysheets.net or the dirtysheets.com will get you there.
All right.
And just one last thing, our man show this week, we're going to be doing it on Monday, so it'll be out on Tuesday. I don't know if me and Cav we're going to put any 20 minutes, half an hour together just to tie you over till then. We'll talk about it, but it won't be out today.
And if you want to go check out any of my stuff, everything for me, including Twitter, Instagram, yada yada, is all at Lingus Mafia, especially when you go to patreon.com/LingusMafia, because this week we did a special for the fans who have signed up, and we all did the One Chip Challenge by Pocky Chips, and I'm still paying for it today when I have taken a shit, and it was fucking horrific, and the video is posted as well on Patreon. It was fucking bad. It was real, real fucking bad, and I didn't think it would be as horrible as it was. And my heart was beaten beforehand. We were fucking terrified, and it didn't disappoint. It didn't disappoint, and it's the gift that keeps on giving. My shit is black, and my asshole's red. That's all.
Just before we close out, just the one other gift that keeps on giving. If we do that additional man show before Monday, we will talk about the gift that keeps on giving. That is Nick and him shooting down.
Refusing to believe anything is wrong with this.
It is not COVID. Just me. So me, we may do a little show just building up how Monday's going to go in terms of how Nick just knocks down all the conspiracy theories. But obviously the discussions in the group have been more about COVID, and me and Nick and Cav won't be doing the show about COVID together, because me and Nick did that last week. So what we may discuss is how he does shoot down every single COVID video, and
doctors, and it doesn't matter, they're frauds.
Yeah. and the kind of stuff me and Cav have both posted, and at the same time may do a little bit more on that, on talking about stuff, non-wrestling stuff, that is actually on TV and Netflix and YouTube and everything at the moment, because I think that would be more fun to do. So there may be a little show like that, a little half an hour thing to tie you over to Monday, but not today.
All right, everyone. And that feed will be on the Man Show. You have to go to the Man Show to find that feed, because we're not giving it to you here, making you do some fucking work. And go to the Man Show feed on your iTunes, Stitcher.
I mean, it's so much work to like search it out and subscribe to one other podcast.
Yeah, that's it. That's all you got to do. Search it. So it'll be there. For Mr. Billy Body, I am Cav Manning. And we're out of time.